Hi, and welcome to the Rachel Sellers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing free education about all things mental health. This podcast is about ending the mental health stigma and helping people cultivate a deeper awareness and understanding of themselves. Mental health education matters, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned and what I know. I'm your host, Rachel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today's episode is all about trauma, and my hope for this episode for you is that your understanding of trauma will expand. I truly believe that our mainstream culture has adopted a really narrow-minded view and understanding of trauma, and we desperately need a paradigm shift. We need to understand what this word really means and how that relates to our bodies. And I hope that you learn something new today. So if you are listening to this podcast, then you have experienced trauma and probably a lot of it, okay? 2020 was marked by a massive global and collective trauma because of the pandemic. And we're still seeing the effects of that. We're still living the impacts of that. There are two likely reactions that you will have when you hear me say, you've experienced a lot of trauma. You might be one who says, yeah, I have. And your memory might take you back to some really hard and dark things that have happened in your life. You also might have a different response. And your response might be, well, yeah, but nothing that bad has happened to me. I hear that a lot. Maybe you've just quote unquote gotten over it. Maybe you have just quote unquote forgotten about it. And maybe you have, or maybe you've just successfully repressed it. No matter which response you have, the reality is being a human on this broken planet means that you carry trauma in your body, both yours and what you've inherited from your ancestors. We now know that inherited trauma is not just this woo-woo concept, but it has been studied by neuroscientists and people who work in the field of epigenetics. So this idea of inherited or passed down generational trauma is very much real. So I want to expand your definition of the word trauma. When I say that word, I can guess that maybe words like sexual assault, natural disasters, childhood abuse would likely fall into what you have defined as trauma. And these are absolutely traumatic experiences. But we need to deconstruct this narrative that it's only the big things that are traumatic and only the big things that quote unquote count. This sometimes that's referred to as big T trauma, these bigger traumas that we all kind of collectively agree, like, yes, those things are traumatic. That's sometimes called as big T trauma. And what I want to make a case for is that regarding trauma, just as this big T trauma is really just a lack of understanding. And I think it's kept us in a lot of denial and it's kept people really living in their pain because they don't feel like what they have experienced as trauma has been validated. So I want to offer you a couple of definitions of trauma by some of the teachers and mentors that have really taught me the most that I know and have learned about trauma. So these are experts in the field of neurobiology, psychology, psychotherapy. And so I want to share some of their wisdom and their words. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, he's a psychiatrist, author, researcher. This is his definition of trauma. He says it's an event that overwhelms the central nervous system. Polyvagal theory. Okay, altering the way we process and recall memories. Trauma is not the story of something that happened back then. It's the current imprint of the pain, horror, and fear living inside people. What he makes a case for is that trauma is what's happening in the here and now. It's the current imprint of what has happened in the past. And I'm going to expand more on that in a second. Another definition that I love is from Peter Levine. He is a psychologist and founder of the Somatic Experiencing Institute. And he defines trauma as a shocking or dangerous event that you see or experience. So again, not just something you experience, but also something that you see. He also states that the nervous system, our bodies, cannot discriminate between trauma and simply being overwhelmed. That's important. Our body can't discriminate between trauma and simply being overwhelmed. Resma McKinnon, who's an amazing author and therapist, he says this about trauma. When something happens to the body that is too much, too fast, or too soon, it overwhelms the body and can create trauma. He also says that trauma is a wordless story our body tells itself about what is safe and what is a threat. Our rational brain cannot stop it from occurring, and it can't talk our body out of it. What he means by trauma being a wordless story our body tells itself about what is safe and what is a threat, that wordless story, he's talking about emotions and physical sensations, what we experience in the body, and how that then informs what we believe is safe or what is threatening. So I hope that maybe you saw a pattern in all of those definitions, and all of them spoke to this idea that trauma is not the event itself. It is and it can be, but trauma is most accurately what happens in the body when we experience something overwhelming. Trauma is a response. It is what happens in the body. Okay, what does that mean, right? That's like heady and kind of abstract. What I mean by that are the physical sensations and the really painful emotions that we experience when something happens that overwhelms us and threatens us and causes us so much pain. Okay, when we experience something that feels overwhelming and devastating and unsafe, our bodies initiate a trauma response. And with this comes emotions like panic, fear, anxiety, anger, helplessness, numbness, sadness, dissociation, and shame. Physical sensations that often happen in our bodies during a trauma response include like heart rate and blood pressure changes, tightness, and those physical sensations are really physiological responses would be more accurate. I could go on and on about those, but what I want to speak to are words that people often use when they describe their trauma. Words like uneasy, I felt shaky, I felt frozen, I felt sweaty, I felt paralyzed. These are some of the words that people will use to describe the physical sensations of a trauma response. So when I say, I want to recap that and say it in a different way. When I say that trauma is not just the event, trauma is also the uncomfortable and distressing physical sensations that we experience when something overwhelming happens, and it's the emotions that are connected to that experience, okay? When trauma is created, we experience the world with a totally new nervous system, and this is where the polyvagal theory comes in. So go and listen to those episodes. I hope if you have already listened to those episodes, you might be already making some connections, which is great. But I'm going to give you a recap in case you haven't. So what the polyvagal theory says is that when the body experiences something threatening, it initiates a survival response, fight, flight, or freeze. And if the body doesn't have a chance to get back to feeling safe, then the body gets stuck in this trauma or survival response. I think that one of the most pervasive impacts of trauma is the way that it affects how our bodies respond to, really, how our bodies respond to life, how our bodies respond to people and in relationships and to external circumstances and events. Once trauma gets stuck in the body, if it's not addressed, okay, if we do the whole, it wasn't that big of a deal and I just moved past it and what, that wasn't painful, denial, okay, what happens when we say those things and the trauma gets stuck is that our body's alarm systems become really sensitive. And what happens is that the body is always defending and self-protecting itself. That might feel like being always anxious. That might feel like being always hopeless and helpless and numbed out and depressed. Okay. When this happens, when our body's alarm system becomes extra sensitive, our thinking brain, our prefrontal cortex, is not as online as we want it to be. And our body continues to react in the present moment as if it were still in danger. Stress hormones are cascading throughout the body. And let me give you a practical example of what this might look like. I think we can all relate to maybe being in a moment of conflict with a partner or a friend where we become explosive for seemingly quote unquote no reason, or we numb out and we disconnect from ourselves in conflict. We're conflict avoidant. Okay. This is happening because your body is responding to that conflict. That conflict doesn't feel safe. And so your body is initiating a survival response. And that is why we have these behaviors that like becoming explosive in conflict or becoming avoidant in conflict, these behaviors that quote unquote don't make sense, that actually make a ton of sense. It's just our body responding to a threat. And this is what happens if trauma isn't processed and our trauma responses, our fight, flight, or freeze responses become our way of being in the world. As a therapist and just a human who has experienced trauma, I have realized that what lives and breathes under the guise of a quote unquote disorder is often unhealed trauma. Anxiety and depression are consequences, I believe, and I conceptualize, of a chronically dysregulated nervous system. And if we want to achieve better mental health, then we have to look at trauma and we have to engage the body, because we're not brains on a stick. We are complex humans with a brain and a nervous system that communicate with each other. The mental health field has historically pathologized people's pain and people's suffering. And we use words like disorder and mental illness. And I'm not saying that those don't exist or are not real, but what I am saying is that oftentimes when you look underneath them, you look underneath the quote unquote disorder, what you see is dysregulation. What you see is a body that is locked in trauma and that is living in a cycle of these, of being flooded with unpleasant emotions, distressing emotions, and distressing physical sensations in the present moment. Again, I'm going to rewind. Don't know what that sound was, but not going to edit it out because that's how I roll and I'm kind of weird and quirky. And I hope you know that by now. I want to just say again what this definition of trauma is, just because I like repeating things. Trauma is not the event itself. Trauma is the distressing and painful emotions and the distressing and painful physical sensations that happen in the body when something happens that is overwhelming and that exceeds our capacity to make sense of it in the present moment. Okay. And that's why, let me make that connection. Oftentimes, when we look at quote unquote disorders, what we see are painful and distressing emotions, and painful, overwhelming, and distressing physical sensations. I think that a lot of things get in the way of us admitting and facing our trauma. And I think part of it, honestly, is because of this lack of understanding about what it actually is. I think we just don't have a great understanding of it, or we just continue to think, oh, trauma is that big stuff out there. We don't want to see it in ourselves. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to maybe be honest and get real with ourselves about the trauma that we faced that actually was a big deal for us. I also think that we become so conditioned to living in a trauma response to living in chronic anxiety and hypervigilance or being on guard, or we become chronically conditioned to living numbed out and depressed and disconnected, that we don't even realize that we're stuck and disconnected. We don't realize that it's actually a trauma response or that we're in a traumatized state, because it's just become our new normal. It's become our, you know, this is how I am state. I think another reason we don't face our trauma is because we get stuck in a very popular narrative, one that I hear a lot from clients who will recount really painful experiences of being bullied or growing up in a family that didn't talk about emotions and encouraged repressing and stuffing emotions. They'll often say to me, "Oh, but I don't have it as bad as them." As if that narrative, or because they didn't have it as bad, somehow discounts their own pain. So maybe you haven't been sexually assaulted, or maybe you've never been part of or witnessed a mass shooting or mass violence, but the presence of it and the pain doesn't discount yours. So even if you haven't experienced those big T, big trauma things or experiences, what I want you to know is that your pain matters. And if something was overwhelming and significant for you, then you get to name it for what it is, and that it was traumatic. And that's not you being dramatic, or that's not you being sensitive. That's you being a human responding to a broken and terrifying world in a very normal way. If trauma is an overwhelming or terrifying experience, and what happens when we experience these experiences, the emotions, the physical sensations, then we're all traumatized. And if we're all traumatized, then wouldn't it make sense for the stigma around trauma and PTSD to start disintegrating? I really hope that I get to see that in my lifetime. I think that, you know, I want to mention too that our bodies are really resilient. I think they're as susceptible to healing as they are to trauma. And if you want better mental and physical health, maybe it's time to look inside of yourself at the things that you have said, "Oh, it wasn't that bad," and maybe get real about how bad it was. Maybe it's time to reach out to a trauma-informed therapist who is well-trained and well-versed in trauma. Maybe it's time to learn about your nervous system and how to regulate it. Maybe it's time to practice deep breathing and mindfulness and meditation, and to get curious about why you have the responses or reactions that you do. Maybe it's time to start learning about emotions. Study a feelings wheel. I know that sounds so silly, but I am actually dead serious. We are so emotionally illiterate in this country, and part of it is because we have learned to disconnect from the emotions that are too painful to feel. So I'm serious. Study a feelings wheel. If trauma robs us of the ability to sense and trust our bodies, which it does, then healing must involve repairing the relationship that you have with yourself. Something that I do want to mention really quickly, and I realize that I'm getting long and I try to keep these episodes short, but I want to mention this idea, and I've said it in this episode, that trauma is really the absence of safety. And trauma is what happens in the body when we don't feel safe. And I think a really important question that we have to ask, if we really care about mental health in this country, then why are we not prioritizing safety for all bodies? Having good mental health hinges on this ability and capacity to feel safe in your environment and to feel safe in your body. And this is why mental health and trauma and social justice are so intimately intertwined. So I have to say that real threats still exist for marginalized bodies every single day. And this is absolutely impacting health and causing trauma for marginalized bodies and in marginalized populations every single day. And this is why, mental health is a social justice issue. And I can't think of the word. It would be wrong of me to not educate you about that. It would be wrong of me to not say that. I hope that this episode allowed you to just extend and expand your understanding of trauma and encourage you to maybe get a little bit curious about your own past and your own history and the things that may have been absolutely painful, but that you have been afraid or didn't feel like you had permission to say was trauma because you believed it didn't count. I'm going to do an episode on big and little T trauma, which is kind of going to dig into a little bit more about these distinctions between the big stuff and the quote unquote little stuff when it relates to trauma. So stay tuned for that episode. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned something new. Just a reminder that this podcast is about mental health and mental health concepts, and education about psychology and therapy is not a substitute for individual therapy. If you want to help this podcast grow and get it into the hands of other listeners, please subscribe, rate, or leave me a review. It really does make a difference.